And I have an unusual message tonight. It's not connected to any series, and sometimes I feel like a fish out of water if I'm not connected to something. But maybe it is connected. Sometimes the Lord directs our hearts. Sometimes there is a reason, and I kind of thought about it this afternoon. I thought, well, our emphasis on Christian education and this morning our emphasis on ministry, perhaps tonight's message will be an encouragement to you. As your finger is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to read some verses from Psalm 42. You don't need to turn there, but the psalmist asked this question. He said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." And that phrase is repeated a couple more times, the end of Psalm 42, and then over in Psalm 43, the same thing. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him and the help of my countenance and my God. So the question the psalmist asks is this: why are you cast down, O my soul? Now the phrase cast down in the psalm is closely related to what we're going to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is giving his testimony. Now, you've been in Sunday school for a while, you've been in church for a while, and I think you are fully aware that Paul had a difficult ministry. Paul had a difficult ministry. He was rejected by his own people. He was persecuted, stoned, rejected. He suffered need. He talked about that. Sometimes he was hungry. Sometimes there were other things going on in his life. And so he was involved in a difficult ministry, the missionary task of spreading the gospel around the then known world. Now, if I was in Paul's shoes, if I was in Paul's sandals, I think that I might have echoed what the psalmist said. I would have said, I am disquieted. I am cast down. My soul is discouraged. I want to read the first few verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Now stop there just for a minute. That's the same phrase, the same idea of a cast down soul in Psalm 42. It is the word discourage. Now you can see the words there, can't you? If I had a chalkboard, I could write dis, no, and courage, no courage. Just the energy and the courage and the enthusiasm for the tasks that are in your life is gone. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Paul said, we have received mercy. We do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds are the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. What treasure? The treasure of the knowledge of God. The treasure of the gospel. The treasure of ministry. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. May God add the blessing to the reading of His word tonight. Now I have three statements I want to make tonight that Paul kind of gave us his strategy for overcoming discouragement. Now, first, let me say, I believe that discouragement is a common experience of anyone who serves the Lord. Maybe it's just unmet expectations. You worked on a project and you didn't see fruit on the other end the way that you thought you would, and so you're discouraged. It may be a difficult circumstance like Paul faced. It might have been physical needs. It might have been persecution. It might have been disappointment. But I think that disappointment or discouragement or losing heart is an experience that we all can identify with from time to time. Now, most of us don't live there. Most of us don't stay there. But we do bump into that experience from time to time. And as we bump into that experience, how can we get out of that? How can we get out of that frame of mind of discouragement and losing heart? And how can we get back on track for what the Lord would have us to do? Well, Paul is giving his testimony here in 2 Corinthians. He talks much about suffering. He talks much about the experience of disappointment and other things in this book. And in this chapter specifically, he gives us a strategy for not losing heart. Here's the first thought, or the first idea, is Paul emphasized humility. Paul emphasized humility. I just put this in my notes. Paul was not willing to boast. Now you notice in a lot of the scriptures about the Apostle Paul, he says, it's not me, it's Christ. It's not me, it's the Lord. It's not me, it's of God. In this passage of Scripture, he says this, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy. Do you know that the ministry is a gift from God? Do you know that serving the Lord is a privilege? Do you know that whatever responsibility the Lord whatever responsibility you're involved with is a gift from God? Well, we talked about that this morning, a spiritual gift, your circle of influence, your responsibility. It is a gift from God. Now, if we look at it that way, that helps our attitude, doesn't it? Lord, thank you for allowing me to, instead of, oh God, I've got to, right? Isn't there a difference? Thank you, Lord, for letting me, instead of, oh man, I have to. There's a big difference, isn't there? And so Paul stressed in overcoming discouragement the idea of humility. 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul writes, he uses this word mercy. I just looked in my concordance and saw it. But listen to Paul's attitude about ministry. He says in verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, isn't that interesting? Thank you, Lord, for letting me be in the ministry. Instead of, oh, Lord, why am I in the ministry? Instead, Paul was, thank you, Lord, for counting me faithful, and thank you for putting me where you wanted me to be. Thank you for giving me this ministry. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy. Isn't that wonderful? He's got a humble attitude. He realizes the grace of God in his life. He has experienced the mercy of God. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. And Paul was so thankful for the mercy of God. Listen to his benediction. Listen to his cry of praise. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God the only wise, be honor and glory forever. Amen. You see, when we have a humble spirit, it pulls us out of discouragement. When we realize that our ministry responsibilities are actually gifts from God, by the mercy of God, by the grace of God. Paul said, we have obtained mercy. I notice also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says this down in verse 5. He says, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, I like that. That phrase in and of itself is very powerful. We're not going to focus on me. We're going to focus on Christ. We're not going to focus on my needs, my wants, my desires. We're going to focus on what Jesus wants. I don't preach myself. I preach Jesus, Paul said. But listen to the rest of the phrase, the rest of the verse. And ourselves, your servants, your bond servants, for Christ's sake. So Paul is practicing what he's preaching, what we read in Philippians. He is putting others first. It's not about me, he said. Ultimately, it's about Jesus Christ and His Word and His message, but it's also about you. And so he's not focusing on himself. He's focusing on the needs, the spiritual needs of other people. Friends, if you want to pull yourself out of discouragement, stop focusing on your own needs, your own disappointments, your own problems, and begin to think on the things of others. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Christ's sake. Paul wasn't going to boast. We notice in verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. In Timothy, it talks about in a house there are different kinds of vessels for different uses. And you have different kinds of vessels in your home. You have vessels of honor. That's the nice china that you put out when the pastor comes over for dinner, you know. That's the thing you put out for a holiday when the family gathers together. It's the nice china. It's the nice things that you put out. But you also have vessels of dishonor. It might be a garbage can. It might be something else to get rid of the waste in your house. And the vessel is there and you use it, but you know it's not. It's off in the corner. It's in the garage. It's in the backyard. It's something that you don't use all the time. Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That was an expression of humility, speaking, I think, of his fleshly body, how fragile we are, earthen vessel, a clay pot can be broken very easily, and so forth. But I think also in humility. I'm not exalting myself as something special. I'm just a cracked pot. Now notice I said cracked with an ED on the end, pot. Not crackpot. Don't say, but I should have turned that around and said, you're just a crackpot, you know. You're just a cracked pot by the grace of God. The glory of God being shown through you. The more humble you are, the more Christ can be seen in you. Friends, if you want to overcome discouragement, and I know this is a process, that you don't just say, you know, Lord, make me humble, but it's a process and it's a mindset. But Paul focused on humility. He said, I have obtained mercy. I don't preach myself, but I preach Christ, and I focus on others. And I have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the excellency of the glory may be seen of God and not of me. Paul focused on humility. Paul focused also on integrity. Integrity. Now you notice in the verses that we read, he said, we've renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul said in Timothy, he said, we are rightly dividing the word of truth. He said, I am not a charlatan when it comes to the word of God. I am going to be honest in my ministry. I'm going to have integrity in my ministry. Now, how does that help us overcome discouragement? Well, if you begin to manipulate, well, I put this in the notes. Paul said he was not willing to boast. Paul also said he was not willing to compromise. He was not going to compromise the truth of God's word. You see, once we begin down a road of compromise, we're moving away from the Lord instead of staying close to the Lord. We're moving away from the authority that He has given us in His Word, and we're making the message a little less effective. And it is you've heard this expression before, slippery slope. you know, once you begin to compromise the truth of God's word, you slide further and further away from what he wants you to do. Paul, I think, stayed on track and was able to say, we don't lose heart, because he had great confidence in the message that God had given him. You see, if you start to question the message, is the Bible true? Is Jesus the only way to heaven? Is what I'm teaching true? If you start wrestling with those issues, and maybe you'll do it as a young person, but if those issues come up in your heart and mind, you're setting yourself up to be discouraged. Because you'll sit in a church service, and instead of enjoying the worship and enjoying the time together, all these questions are going to be bouncing around in your head and your heart and your mind, and you're going to end up being discouraged. The Lord has allowed us to minister in all kinds of settings, but I am thankful for the power of God's Word. Whether it's in a nursing home or a retirement center, and I have done my time in those places and still continue to minister in different ways and Bible studies and different things. Whether it's in a youth setting at a camp or a Sunday school class, whether it's in the context of local church preaching from the platform to our congregation, I guard my heart against discouragement because I have confidence in God's Word. Now, let me just show you this confidence. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul focused on humility. Paul focused on integrity. And he said, I've renounced the hidden things of shame. I show myself to every man's conscience. I have not twisted the word of God. Paul stayed focused on the message of God's Word. Now listen, 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, and we're going to read a few verses here, so follow along. Paul is writing to Timothy, who is timid in the faith. He had said to him, Paul, Timothy, don't have a spirit of fear, you know, but and be an example. Don't let men despise your youth. And he was always encouraging Timothy. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now Paul is speaking to Timothy. Yes, it's hard, but the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now my conviction and my belief is our persecution will come because of our stand on God's Word, on God's truth. If we compromise on the truth of God's Word, well then maybe we would escape. But if we make a stand for whatever the truth might be, whatever the topic might be, if we make a stand on God's Word, there's the possibility of persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing that from whom you have learned them. Paul said, look at my life, look at my integrity. Knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Now, such a familiar verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. Let's keep going. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, Timothy, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Integrity. Making a stand. Not willing to compromise. And friends, there's something wonderful about a clean conscience, isn't there? There's something wonderful about knowing that you did the right thing. I've said to my wife on different occasions, a bump in the road as far as ministry is concerned, and I'd say to her, well, I think I did the right thing. Before God, I think I did the right thing. And we're able to pray together and go to sleep and wake up the next morning and keep going because we know that we took a stand or did the right thing or did what God wanted us to do. Friends, if you want to overcome discouragement, if you want to overcome losing heart, you've got to focus on humility and realize that what a gift ministry is and what a privilege ministry is. But you've also got to have confidence in God's Word. Even willing to make a stand. Even willing to be, as we heard tonight in our special music, different, if that's what needs to be said or done. Make a stand for God's Word. Now, I heard this on the computer this week. So this is not original with me. This verse slipped by me like it probably has slipped by most of you. I'd like for you to go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Now, Bible teachers like to discuss who was the writer of Hebrews. Now, some people say, well, we think Paul wrote it. Well, some Bible teachers, they discuss, well, it's not consistent with his style and so forth. And another thing is Paul in all his other letters always identifies himself. He always says, I, Paul, write this letter to you, you know. And so you know that he's the writer. Hebrews, a little bit of a mystery, who is the writer of Hebrews? But there's an interesting little verse toward the end of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. I almost said Paul, but let me just say the writer of Hebrews, okay, said this. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I think Bill Work prayed that a couple weeks ago at the end of our service. It's a great benediction. Now listen to verse 22. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. Now look at this, verse 23. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Now why am I looking at that verse? Well, the pastoral epistles, Timothy is a young man, and Paul is encouraging him, hey, listen, stand up for the truth. Remember all that I've been through. And if you're going to make a stand, there will be a price to pay. But the implication is in 1 and 2 Timothy that Timothy is a timid man. And so we read the encouragement of Paul, stand and be strong and remember the word of God. And Paul eventually gave his life for the gospel. The executioner's axe flashed in the sun of the day and his head was off and he was in the presence of the Lord. And how did Timothy continue on? Well, the Bible says here, Timothy, our brother, has been set free. Now, what does that mean? That means that he was not free. That means that Timothy, the one who maybe was afraid to make a stand, one who was maybe a little timid, maybe one who was afraid to make a stand for the Word of God, evidently he took the challenges very seriously from his mentor, the Apostle Paul, and he somehow, some way, spent some time in jail for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now the Bible says here, Timothy is set free, we'll see him together, and that's a wonderful thing. Friends, I want to challenge you. Will you make a stand? Will you make a stand? Will you listen to the Word of God? Don't compromise. Timothy took the words of Paul and he took a stand. Perhaps he remembered the words, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so when the knock came at his door, the soldiers grabbed him and said, quit preaching, or whatever the circumstance might have been, Timothy was ready and he took a stand. And when you have confidence in the Word of God, when you have integrity in your ministry, you don't lose heart. You keep moving ahead for the glory of God. I have one more thought. I forgot where I was. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 again. Stability. Stability. Now, that might sound strange, but in order to not lose heart, in order to not have our soul cast down, in order to not get discouraged in ministry, can I say this to you? We need to not focus on now, but we need to ask the Lord to help us focus on then. We need to ask the Lord to help us focus on eternity. I remember listening to Keswick Radio when I was in Bible college, and the fellow that did the morning program, he always closed with this statement, "May we live this day in light of eternity." And I still hear his voice when I say that. May we live this day in light of eternity. Not focused on now. Now, did Paul have experiences? Yes, we read in verse 8, "We're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be made manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered from death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you." Now look at verse 16. Paul says, "Everything redounds to the glory of God," in verse 16. "Now therefore, we do not lose heart." It's the same phrase as verse 1. We do not lose heart. We're not going to get discouraged. "Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." Question, are we becoming more like Christ in our sanctification? Well, according to the Scriptures, we are, aren't we? We're being conformed to the image of His dear Son. One day, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Can you say amen to that? We're going to see Jesus and we're going to be like Him. And Paul said, "Our outward man is perishing, but our inward man is being renewed day by day. For the light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." By the way, that's another whole message, the word glory in this chapter. Glory, glory, glory all around. And all our suffering, whatever our problems are, whatever the difficulties are working in us an eternal weight of glory. There's value in even our suffering. There's value even in our difficult times. "We do not look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I find in my own heart and in my own life, when I get discouraged, my problem is I'm looking at now. I'm looking at this problem, this problem, this problem, this person, this person, this person, this challenge, this challenge, this challenge. I'm looking at right now. And I get, if I'm not careful, I can get absorbed in all of that, and I can find myself losing heart, and I can find myself getting discouraged in what God has called me to do. But let me tell you something. When God, by His grace and through His Word, the power of His Holy Spirit, allows me to lift my eyes. Now, Is this still going on? Yes, it's all real. Paul said, it's going on. All this suffering is still here. I'm not denying what's going on, but we can change our perspective. We can lift our eyes, lift them to the horizon, and look up at what the Lord is doing. You see, things that are seen are temporary. My biggest challenge, whatever it is temporary. My biggest struggle, whatever it is temporary. My biggest pain, whatever it is temporary. But when I focus on eternity, what an encouragement that is. The things which are not seen are eternal. Now, question. What does it mean to focus on things that we cannot see? I think you know the answer to this. Hebrews chapter 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of what? Things not seen. So we take our eyes off of what we can see and we ask the Lord to help us by faith focus on the things that we cannot see. And what an encouragement that is to look on eternity. Hebrews chapter 11, since we pointed your attention there. Hebrews chapter 11. Listen to what the scripture says. And we preached through this a couple summers ago. We did Sunday School Remix, remember? And we went through Hebrews 11, all these different Bible stories. Listen to verse 8, talking about Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. But he went out, not knowing where he was going. I underlined that in my Bible. Not knowing where he was going. You talk about walking by faith. God didn't give him a road map. God didn't give him a GPS and say, here's your final destination. He went out not knowing where he was going. He was walking by faith. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise for in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited. Oh, that's a great verse, isn't it? He waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham, by faith, focused on eternity. Did all the things in Abraham's life we know are recorded in Scripture, did those happen? Yes. Did he have challenges? Yes. Was he tested? Yes. All of those things happened. But through it all, he had an eternal perspective, walking by faith, focusing on the city which had whose foundations and builder and maker is God. That is so exciting to me. Verse 14. These all died in faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, by the way, that's an interesting verse if you think of those that hold to the health and wealth and prosperity gospel. If you have enough faith, God will give you money. If you have enough faith, God will give you health. Notice what the scripture says. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. So they lived their whole life in faith, but they didn't see it on this side of heaven. They didn't see the fulfillment of God, of all that God was doing. For those who say such things declare plainly, they seek a homeland. They're looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. And you look over at verse 27. By faith, talking about Moses, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but he endured. And how did he endure? How did he not lose heart? How was he not discouraged? Moses, by faith, endured as seeing, what does it say? Him who is invisible. That is focusing on eternity. That's looking beyond the circumstances of your life. Did Pharaoh want to kill Moses? Yes, that's why he had to flee and go out into the desert. Did the children of Israel reject Moses? Yes, they did from time to time and over again. Did he have challenges? Yes, but he focused on him who was invisible, him that he could not see. We walk by what? Faith and not by sight. Amen? So how do we not lose heart? We focus on humility. We realize that every ministry opportunity is a blessing from God. We don't boast in ourselves. We have obtained mercy ourselves. We don't preach ourselves, but we serve others, and we preach Christ Jesus, and we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and what a humble picture that is of those who serve the Lord. We serve with integrity. We renounce the dishonest use of God's word for manipulation, but instead we hold true to the doctrine of God's word, and we find confidence in the power of God's word, and we are even willing to suffer for the sake of the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we have confidence in God's word, you know what? We don't lose heart. If we know that what we're doing is true, we do not lose heart. Stability. Looking beyond what we can see, and by faith, seeing what God has planned for the future. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love Him. And so we by faith are looking to eternity and asking the Lord to encourage our hearts. Father, we're not sure why you led us to this passage of Scripture, but perhaps there's someone here tonight who is on the edge of discouragement. I pray that tonight you'll use your word to speak to them. Thank you for the many faithful servants in our church family that serve day in, day out, week after week with humility, with integrity, with stability. And Lord, I pray that they will not lose heart, but that you will encourage them today as they are faithful to you. Thank you for our time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ron, will you lead us in a song?